Welcome to Rome. This is The Bittersweet Life with Katie Sewell and Tiffany Parks. Hello, this is The Bittersweet Life. I'm Katie Sewell.
I'm Tiffany Parks.
Tiffany in Rome, Katie in Seattle. But Tiffany, we're going to do a little magic of radio today because you are about to revisit a place. You're going to revisit Boston, and you can explain the significance of that in just a moment. But prior to you revisiting, we're going to tape a little bit about what your journey is. But by the end of this episode, everyone, you're going to hear how the journey went. It's the magic of radio, where we do the before and after all in one gloriously beautiful episode. So today we're doing the setup before your big adventure. Tell us what's going to happen or what you're anticipating.
Well, maybe I should step back and explain the importance of Boston to me. I went to college there, and I'm sure I've mentioned that on the show before, probably numerous times, but maybe not everyone has heard. So yeah, I lived there for 4 years, four very important formative years of my life. It was the first place that I ever moved to after leaving my hometown. I had never lived anywhere else but Mercer Island, our little suburb of Seattle. So it was a big deal. It was moving across the country. It was moving away from my family home for the first time, coming of age, you know, all the things that happen anyway when you are going off to college. But big leap in terms of distance, and also in terms of sort of the flavor of the city was so different from what I was used to. Mm-hmm. And I did move away from Boston before moving to Rome. I lived in Montreal for a couple of years for grad school, but Boston was really my home base because I had a boyfriend there. And so I was constantly going back to Boston, even during my Montreal years. And I lived in Boston for another almost 2 years after grad school before moving to Rome. And ironically or not, I flew to Rome from Boston. I spent the summer in Seattle with my mom, but I had all my stuff in Boston. And so I flew out of Logan Airport on September 20th, 2004. And yes, that means it is 20 years. And Katie, I have not stepped foot in Boston, not even in the airport to change planes, since that day, September 20th, 2004.
Wow.
Boston is really like the adult. It's like my adult city. It's the city where I became an adult.
Yeah. You know,
Seattle's the city of my childhood. Rome is a city of my present. But Boston is really the city of that transition of becoming an adult, coming into my own. And, you know, my first boyfriend, so many firsts. It's a special city for me. It's incredibly special. And as much as I kind of couldn't wait to get away that last year I was living there, I am really excited to go back.
Yeah. So 20 years since you've set foot in this place. Do you have anything that you're anticipating? Like, what are your thoughts when you think about what this will be like going into it?
Well, the entire time that I lived in Boston, the Big Dig was going on. I'm sure you've heard of the Big Dig, the famous, I mean, it's been a while, right? But it was a big deal. I mean, it was national news for a long time. It was this huge infrastructure project in Boston in which they were trying to put all of the highways underground and build parks and things above. But there was, you know, it was famously totally corrupt, and all this money got embezzled or lost or whatever, mismanaged. And it was taking like 18 years instead of like three or whatever. And so the entire time I lived there, Boston was, you know, especially the sort of downtown seafront area of Boston was under construction. And you couldn't walk to the north end of Boston, which is the very characteristic Italian neighborhood. Like, you couldn't get there without walking through like all sorts of metal barricades and, you know, kind of really a lot of unpleasant back and forth and up and down and, you know, areas that you felt like you needed to have a hard hat on to get there. You know, you just, there were certain parts of the city that just kind of felt inaccessible, and certainly lots of parts of the city that were just ugly, although the majority of the city was then beautiful, as I'm sure it is still today. So the Big Dig is over. I think it's been over for quite a while, maybe 10 years or more. And my friend Maeve, who has lived there more recently than me says, you know, it's beautiful now. There's all these parks, like the end result is what they had planned. And so I'm very, very excited to see that because I never really appreciated this sort of harbor area, the waterfront area because of the construction. And so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
And when you think about the city, you said it's a very formative city and it's one that you liked, but were also ready to leave when it was time to go. When you finally moved to Rome, it wasn't that you were looking back at Boston longingly. How do you feel toward the city now, 20 years later? Besides nostalgia, does it feel like it was a good time? Or, I mean, just like, what's your... Does it feel belongs to
you? It was a wonderful time. I have really two distinct Boston periods. I have my college years, and then I went away, and I was just there in the summer or, you know, weekends. And then I have those 2 years after grad school. And during grad school and after grad school, I was with my long-term boyfriend, Luis. And I think that that relationship, it wasn't the most ideal relationship for a lot of reasons. So I went through a lot of unhappiness because of that during those years. So that kind of colored the city a little bit for me. Not to say that it was all bad, but there were definitely, some negatives there. So the second half of my time in Boston was definitely not as carefree and wonderful as the first half. Plus I was working, you know, I was trying to figure out, hey, am I going to really try to make this career as an opera singer work and therefore be a temp and do all these unpleasant jobs? Or should I try to get a real job or should I move away? You know, so there was a lot of indecision. Whereas when I was in college, it was just like, I don't have to think about anything for 4 years. All I have to do is study and, you know, get my degree, mm-hmm. which for people going off to college, you do not realize how wonderful that is. So enjoy those 4 years of not having to make any major life decisions. Yeah. But those first 4 years were blissful. I mean, of course, they were difficult. Of course, you know, I had my challenges, but I had a wonderful time in college. And so I remember the city fondly for those reasons, but it's also a gorgeous city and it's a small enough city that you can really feel like you are, like, you know it, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's not an overwhelming city. Like I feel very overwhelmed in cities like New York and London and Los Angeles, but Boston is much more manageable. It's okay. Like a Florence as opposed to a Rome, you know?
Yes.
And you can really, you know, get around, move around and get to know the city in a different way. I just fell in love with that city from the first time I went.
Is there anything that you will definitely be seeking out? And if you find that it is no longer there, you will be crushingly disappointed?
That's a good question. You know, obviously I'm going to go see New England Conservatory where I studied and I know it's still there. So yeah. I would be crushed if Jordan Hall were gone, you know? I kind of want to go into the dormitory, which I don't know if the dorm is still there. The dorm was already dated when I was living there. It's a very small school. So there's just one dorm building. I hope it's there. So I would be disappointed if that's not there. Newbury Street is kind of the, you know, the quintessential, you know, most charming, most lively street in the city. And I hope that it's as similar to how I remember it. I'm not expecting to recognize any of the, you know, the restaurants. Although our hotel, I made sure when we booked a hotel that we were staying in the Back Bay area. Because if you end up downtown Boston, the downtown area is kind of deserted at night. So I knew I didn't want to be in that area. So I found a hotel in the Back Bay area and I was looking at the map because we'd get in quite late. And so I was like, we got to have like a plan for a restaurant when we arrive. And I was looking at the map where the hotel is. And I was like, oh my gosh, Stephanie's on Newbury. It's still there. And Stephanie's on Newbury is this restaurant that I went to with my first boyfriend on one of our first dates. It wasn't our first, but it was special enough that I got a matchbook from the restaurant and I broke it open and glued it into a scrapbook that I had made of sort of my memories that I was making while we were together those first couple of years. So
Very
that
nice.
Restaurant is still there.
Cool.
And we're not talking 20 years, Katie. Because I didn't move to Boston in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Boston in, and I hate to date myself like this, but whatever. I moved to Boston in 1995.
Yes.
So that is almost 30 years ago. Almost 29 years ago.
Yeah, amazing. All right, well, before I let you go and through the magic of radio, we now talk to you again after Boston. Is there anything else you want to put on the record before we send you off on your merry way?
Okay, Copley Square is a very small park right in the center of the Back Bay Area. And I always loved it because there is a tall, very modern, all glass office building. And right next to it is one of the oldest churches in the city, the Trinity Church, which I believe is from the late 1700s. And I used to adore the way you could see the reflection of this, what felt like ancient church to me then, in the glass of this modern building. And so I'm wondering if I will get that same effect, if I will be as delighted with it as I was back then. And I'm curious to see how much of the city, like how old the city feels to me. Because when I first moved there, moving there from Seattle, Boston felt so old to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, walking down the Freedom Trail, seeing the places, you know, where these historic events happened, Bunker Hill and, you know, Boston Massacre and the Boston Tea Party, and just the architecture. It felt so, so old and so European. So I'll be curious to know, after having lived in Europe for almost two decades, if it feels so European to me and if it feels so old.
Yeah, no kidding, because what anything in the 1700s is now going to be kind of new compared to things that happened in Rome.
Yeah, when I'm doing a tour, and like especially if I'm in a medieval church, I mean, you'll remember this from our tour in October, you know, I'll be talking about the medieval mosaics and yada, and I'm like, yeah, these paintings were done in the 1700s, so I'm not even going to talk about them.
Yeah, too new. Too new. And yet in the United States, everything is that new or newer. So yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm also curious to see Claudio's reaction, because I just remember going to Old North Church, you know, Old North Church. Oh my gosh, it's like the oldest church in North America, you know, and being so impressed by it. And I mean, there's historic significance that goes beyond just the number of years it's been there. So I'm curious to see what he will make of all of this. He is very passionate about American history. So I think he'll actually be very interested.
Yeah. And you'll have to see if anything stands out to Aurelio too. As a child who was born in an ancient city, in the ancient city of Rome, that is his backdrop and his playground, what he makes of the very ancient city of Boston, the very not so ancient city
we will see
of Boston. All right. Well, we're going to send you on your merry way. And then by the magic of radio, we'll talk to you in just a second and hear how it all went.
Okay.
Tiffany here, just popping in. If you are dreaming of coming to Italy, and specifically to coming to Rome, you're probably thinking to yourself, I don't really want to be in those huge groups of tourist hordes trudging through the Vatican museums, sweltering under the sun inside the Colosseum, wandering around the busy tourist streets, seduced into a tourist trap restaurant just because you don't know where else to go and you're tired and you're hot, looking at amazing things, but not really knowing what you're seeing. What's the point of going all the way to Rome and not really seeing it, not seeing the true city, not experiencing what Rome has to offer and really getting to know the city? Because if you don't know Rome very well, or maybe you've been to Rome and you were a little bit overwhelmed by it, couldn't really take it all in, or maybe you've never been there and you don't really know what all the fuss is about, it can be easy to be overwhelmed by a city like Rome. But if you come in October with Katie and me, we can guarantee you that you will get to know this city on a much deeper level. And when you do that, no matter where you're traveling, it makes that time so much more valuable and so much more worthwhile. And I don't know about you, but when I go deep into a place, that place stays with me. So I wanted to share just a little bit with you about what we're going to be doing in October. We're not going to be going to the Vatican. We're not going to be going to the Colosseum or the Forum. Although, if you want to go to those places, we will absolutely make that happen for you. And we can set up tours for you. Or if you don't want to go on a tour, you want to go by yourself, we can help you get the tickets. We are happy to do that. But we won't be going there together. We are going to be discovering the lesser known side of Rome. Now, the thing about Rome, what makes Rome so unique as a city, is that some of the churches in this city, some of the small museums and piazzas, if they were in any other city in the world, they would be absolutely the top attractions. But because Rome has so much, Rome has an embarrassment of riches, that even the second, third, fourth tier sites, even those places that hardly anybody goes to, are so incredible. Anywhere else in the world, they would be your number one site. So those are the kind of places we're going to be going. We're going to be seeing medieval frescoes. We're going to be seeing mosaics. We're going to be seeing incredible works of Baroque architecture, paintings by Caravaggio, by Filippino Lippi, by Raphael, churches that are incredibly beautiful, but just far enough off the tourist track that nobody goes there, and will be there alone and will experience these sites in a completely different way than you experience a very, very crowded, busy city. There are some piazzas and streets and narrow alleyways in Rome that even in the height of high season, when you walk down them, you feel like you're in a small medieval city. After living in Rome for, it will be 20 years by October, I know where to go. I know where to take you. I have the greatest amazing secret places that I have been collecting and cataloging and, quite frankly, in a lot of situations, sort of keeping to myself because I don't want them to be ruined. But I do want to share them with you. If you're interested in coming to Rome, if that's something that you've been dreaming of doing for a while, consider coming with Katie and myself this coming October 2024. Because we are going to spend 6 nights, 5 days exploring the unknown, the secret side of Rome. I'm going to be telling the city's stories and really sharing with you what makes this city so unique and really what makes it the way that it is, why Rome is what it is. So if you're interested, the dates are 6 to 12 October. You can just get in touch with us by email if you'd like more information. Email us at bittersweetlifepodcast@gmail.com. That's bittersweetlifepodcast@gmail.com. We have sold out about half of the rooms, and it's a very small trip, so we don't have a lot of rooms available, but we do have a few left. Please get in touch if you feel like you might be interested in joining us for that magical, unforgettable week. Back to the show.
So, here we are, back on the other side of your epic family vacation. First off, before we get your reflections on Boston, did you survive? Obviously you did. You're sitting in front of me. But how was traveling with young son and husband from Italy to the United States?
It was, you know, it was as kind of miserable as it always is. Nothing terribly traumatic. But going, of course, I had sworn after 2021 never to fly through JFK again, ever. And I didn't listen to my own good advice. And we changed planes in JFK. And, you know, when I bought the tickets, there was a 9:15 flight and there was a 10:30 flight. And they each caught the same connecting flight from JFK to Phoenix. So like the 10:30 flight is like an hour shorter and it was cheaper. It was like considerably cheaper. And I was like, no, I'm going to go with that 9:15 flight because I want to have a nice long connection in JFK because I've been burned before.
Yes.
And so we took the 9:15 flight. It left a half an hour late. It arrived 40 minutes late. So we had, I want to say 2 hours and 45 minutes layover, which sounds like a lot. For JFK, not a lot if you have to, you know, go through customs. So I was sweating bullets because, you know, this trip was already kind of on the short side for being an international trip. And I didn't want to lose like a single day of the trip. So I was really stressed out, really stressed out. And here's a fun fact, which I don't know that it's ever happened to me before, although it was not my first time at JFK. You know when you land somewhere and you taxi and they're like, okay, we're going to taxi. Please don't get up while we're taxiing, you know? And you're like, okay. And you're waiting that like 5 minutes of torture. Do you want to guess how long the taxiing lasted? Just like shoot out a figure. How many minutes?
You basically like drove to Florence.
Yeah. I mean, not quite, but like
40 minutes.
Yeah. It was 30 minutes.
Wow.
30 minutes. And I was looking out the window and I'm like, where are we going? At one point we drove across the freeway, like on an overpass, like on an airplane overpass. I was like, what the hell is this? And then, you know, you're just going to be walking all the way back through the airport, and which we did.
Yes.
So we got off the plane. Luckily, the line at passport control wasn't that bad, but we had to go get our bags because you got to go through customs, even though, you know, you're moving on.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for that. You know, I'm waiting for those bags to come. And we checked like 4 bags. I don't know why. And I talked to one of the ladies who works there. I was like, do you think I'm going to make my flight? She's like, what time is it? She's like, maybe. She was honest. No. She's like, maybe.
Ugh.
And she gave me some advice on how to get through the airport a little faster. We got the bags. Luckily, they came through. This is what I really hate about JFK. After you've dropped off your bags, gone through customs and, you know, given them back your bags and taken the Airbus to the new terminal, you have to go through security checkpoint again.
Mm.
And so we had to wait in. And I mean, I don't know how long that line was. Just the line to go through security was like 45 minutes.
Wow.
Luckily, I was texting with my mom and she was like, look, your flight to Phoenix is late. It's 45 minutes delayed.
Oh.
If it hadn't been delayed, Katie, I think we would have missed it. Because as it was, we got to the gate just as they were starting to board.
Yeah, you need to transfer through some little tiny airport or something.
Well, what I used to do is I used to change planes in Europe. Mm. Ideally, Amsterdam is the best place.
Right.
But anyways, that's not what this is about.
That's true. On to Boston. So you do.
On to Boston.
You do Phoenix, which is visiting your mother, the grandmother. So, you know, you have to put in the grandmother time with young son.
It really is grandma. Yeah. And we had Easter there. We had our Easter egg hunt. My niece and my sister were there, which was wonderful. And we really had a great time. We went horseback riding. It was great. It was a great trip.
So, okay. So let's revisit the questions that we had set up for Boston. So first and foremost, initial impressions. Did you recognize where you were?
Didn't recognize the airport at all. Felt like an airport I'd never been in, which is okay, normal. Probably they've updated it in the 20 years I've been away. Get in the cab. I'm like, I mean, it was nighttime when we arrived. It was like 8 o'clock, 7, 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recognize anything. And then I was kind of chatting with the cab driver. I said, I used to live here. I'm like, what street is this? And he's like, this is Beacon Street. And I was like, yes, I know where I am. But if he hadn't told me, I don't think I would have got it. And we didn't really see much that first night. We had dinner in a little cafe that was part of the hotel, little pub. So we didn't really go exploring. Also, it was cold, which we'll get to. But I recognize so much. You know, and my friend Maeve, who I mentioned in the first half of this episode, as someone who lived there back when I lived there and lived there until quite recently, she said, you're not going to recognize Boston. Mm. It's so different. And I think that might be true in some areas of the city, but oh my God, it felt like not a day had gone by.
Wow. So was it just like you walking around in a haze? You know, your husband and your son are trying to talk to you and you're just 20 years back on memory lane the whole time.
Yeah, part of it. I mean, I don't want to underestimate or I don't want to undersell how much the weather affected that trip.
Mm.
It was horrible. It was freezing temperatures, hovering around zero the entire time, 0 Celsius. It was freezing rain. Both of those things I think I could have handled. The wind was insane. Insane, Katie. It was a nor'easter, which is like a typical northeasterly windstorm, which is usually precipitation and wind. And it usually happens in winter. And it's usually like a blizzard. It's a horizontal snow. And this was just warm enough that it was more sleet than snow, which is probably worse. The second day we were there, the second full day we were there, we couldn't really be out. I mean, it was disappointing. I'm going to be totally honest, because it just was just miserable to have that wind blowing in your face and freezing rain blowing in your face at the same time.
Sure.
Yeah. And unfortunately, also, the grayness doesn't show, you know, when it's gray, the cities are not shown to their at their most beautiful. We did do stuff. We definitely did do some of the things that I want to do, but I'd probably say we did 50% of what I thought reasonably we'd be able to do in 2.5 days.
So what for you was the best part of it? When you saw XYZ thing, that was the moment where you're like, I'm glad I came.
We were staying in the Back Bay, which is my favorite part of Boston. And we walked down the street all the way down Boylston Ave until we got to the Public Garden. And we walked through the Public Garden. That was probably my favorite moment because we had sort of just arrived. I was still in that haze of like, am I really here? And I used to go to the Boston Public Garden and the Boston Common all the time. And Boston is such a small city. Like you think of Boston because it has this so much historic importance as an American city. It's a really small city. I looked it up. It's like the 25th or the 26th largest city in the United States. It's way down there.
Mm.
It felt smaller to me than when I lived there.
Mm.
Like, I'm like, wow, I can't believe how easy it is to like just walk to the clear opposite side of the city. It was okay. I definitely need to go back. We all need to go back.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the Big Dig. Did you even get a chance to go down and see the waterfront area if the weather was that miserable?
No, we didn't. And in fact, we didn't get to go to the Boston Tea Party Museum, which is not something I would have done if I'd been there by myself. But I really wanted to share that with them, especially with Aurelio, and get him interested in the history. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. It's a fun museum. We didn't make it there. We did go to the North End that first day. So basically the first day we walked through Boston Common Public Garden and then we did the Freedom Trail. That was super fun. Mm. Super fun to do the Freedom Trail. And I forgot how easy it is. Literally, you just have to follow the bricks on the street and they lead you to all the sites. One of the stops on the Freedom Trail is Old Park Street Church. I used to go to church there. That was cool to see. And you know how when you go back to a place and you've been away a long time, even if it hasn't changed, your memory of it was just a little bit off.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, I didn't remember this church being exactly in this position. I kind of had a memory of it sort of in a different spot.
Yeah.
And things like that. Like definitely like the old state house. I was like, oh, it's up there in the corner. I thought it was more over here.
Yeah.
And the burial ground is around the corner. And I thought it was right next to it. Like, so I definitely kept having these moments of, oh, okay. Slightly different than I remembered. But Claudio, and I mean, I'm usually the one who's like, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Claudio was the one this time. We went up to the North End. That's when it started raining. Claudio's like, let's go to see the USS Constitution. And I'm like, the what? The what now? That I don't remember. It sounds familiar. Is that not the Tea Party boat? And he's like, no, it's a different boat. I'm like, he's like, it's the oldest American warship. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of remember it now. Old Ironsides. And that's when the weather started to turn and it started to get so windy. And I felt so bad for Aurelio because I was almost being lifted off my feet as we crossed this bridge to get up there. How does he feel? We made it, but we were shivering. I mean, we were absolutely chilled. And I kept complaining jokingly to the locals, like the people who were working in the USS Constitution Museum and stuff. And they're like, oh, come on, this is Boston. What do you expect? And I'm like, I don't remember it being this cold in April. Like, I thought the magnolias would be blooming and
no,
you know.
That's what you heard. That's Seattle. You came to the wrong place. Come to the other coast. We've got you covered.
I don't know how much time you've spent in Boston, Katie.
None.
Commonwealth Avenue. None. You've never been there.
No, never. Oh my It's God. My one major American city I've never seen.
My opinion has not changed, despite the fact that I saw it in cruddy, disgusting weather, and I didn't get to see nearly as much of it as I wanted to. My opinion has not changed. It is the most beautiful city in the United States. Architecturally wise, nature, I think Seattle has a lot going for it as far as nature, but it is so beautiful. I was really delighted by it. I kind of felt the way that I felt the first time I went there, which was just like, oh my God, this place is, it's too beautiful. It can't be an American city. It's too gorgeous.
Well, that was another question that you had offered in the early part of this show is, does it stand up now that you've lived in Rome, which many people would argue is so beautiful?
It is. It is. It's a different type of beauty. Boston is much more English. It feels like a mini London, kind of. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't feel as old to me as it did because, I mean, I'm used to so much older, but it definitely still feels totally historic and it still feels and is absolutely beautiful. And second full day, we went to visit my old school
Yes.
So we did manage to do that. We like had to take a taxi. There's no way we're going to walk in this horrible weather.
Yeah.
So we took a cab. And at first I thought we weren't going to get to go in because the security is much stricter now than when I was there. And the guard, I was like, can you know, I'm an alumna. Can I get like a visitor's pass? And he's like, no, we don't do that anymore. You can go over across the street to the Welcome Center and see if someone will be kind enough to take you around. We went across the street, and across the street is what was the dorm building. Mm-hmm. When I was going to school there, it was the only dorm building in the whole campus. So we went in, and that was totally different. As far as changes to Boston since I've been away, that was probably the biggest change. What used to be the library was now this Welcome Center. But we got really lucky. There was a girl there who was willing to show us around. First, I was like, is this still a dorm? She's like, no, this is now practice rooms. Mm. I'll take you up if you want. And I was like, yes, take me to the sixth floor. Because I lived on the sixth floor. And I was like, am I going to remember my room number? And I was like, 612. Like, it just was there. It was still there. She took me up, us up. I mean, Claudio and Aurelio were with me. And I'm walking down the hall. And that was a trip because the hallway, although they're not dorm rooms anymore, it still looked identical. Like, they hadn't redone the walls or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was using my old dorm room. And so I got to go in, and they had knocked down the wall between the next rooms. So it was twice as big as the room that I had lived in. But the closet was still there. Mm-hmm. My closet was exactly the same. The doors had been taken off, and my little reading light, like, you could tell that, okay, this is where the bed was. And I was like, Claudio, this is where my bed was, and this was my reading light. And right over there was my desk and my chest of drawers, and my roommate was on the other side, identical. And these windows, I mean, everything was the same. There was no bed in there, but that was probably the trippiest moment of all, was standing in the room that I lived in.
Yeah. Year. And if only you'd carved your name into the window sill or something.
Nope. Did not do that. But now I kind of get why people do that.
That's lovely.
Because they want to come back one day. And then she took us around. I saw the Beethoven statue, which, of course, I had forgotten was there. And she was asking me questions kind of like as if I had lived there like a century ago, you know? And I mean, to someone that young, you know, it does 20 years. And it's more than 20 years, really, because 20 years I left Boston.
It's more than her lifetime, Tiffany.
Yeah, I guess it was. She was a first-year grad student, so she was probably 22 or 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there in 1995, which is
a mythical
29, yeah, a mythical time for her. Yeah, so she's like, did people rub Beethoven's foot for luck? I felt like she was asking me, like, back in medieval times, was the foot still there?
That's very funny.
But I kept telling her, oh, like, this was like this back when I was here. I did my junior recital in this hall, and I did my senior recital in this hall, and I found what I think was my teacher's studio. My teacher no longer teaches there, but I found another teacher who I studied with for a year or so after I finished grad school, when I came back to Boston, sort of in that in-between time right before I moved to Rome. And she was still there, and she remembered me, even though I only studied with her for a year. And I went in and I talked to her, and just seeing like the studio atmosphere, even though it wasn't my teacher's room, it was, you know, that there's the piano, there's her chair, there's her bookcase. It just was really easy to imagine stepping back into that world. It was a trip. It was a real trip.
So when they say that you can't go back again.
You can't. Well, I mean,
what's your
thought
about that?
I mean, I do think about that a lot. I don't think you can go back again. I think you can revisit a place, but it's almost like a time traveler who's invisible, you know, and you're just looking into like a snow globe or something. You're not, can't live it again.
Yeah.
But it was so trippy. All I can say is it was magical, and it was bizarre. It was bizarre. Because, I mean, it's one thing to come back to a city 5 years later, 10 years later, but 20 years later, and then more than that to the time I was living in that school.
So it's a romp down memory lane for you. Did you get a sense of Aurelio and like how much his interest was in this? Or is it like, you know, you're a little kid and you're being dragged around a university? Could he appreciate that this was where mom grew up? Or is it he like the tour guide where it's almost too far gone? And like, why are we hanging around this university campus when we could be like out to pizza?
I don't know. I don't think he fully gets it because he is a little kid. But he humored me.
Let's put it that way. Claudio was super into it. He thought it was really cool. He loves revisiting old places.
Yeah. Well, I think when you really love somebody, it's interesting to see where they grew up. You hear all the stories they tell you, and now all of a sudden you can put them in a place. Like, it's almost like you've created this imaginary place that they were in. And now it's like, oh, no, now I actually can see the place in my head, which is totally cool if it's somebody that you like a lot. You know, it's
yeah, it was fun. I'm really glad we went. I wish it had been better weather, but it wasn't. But we will go back, and I've learned my lesson. Kind of also on Arizona, too. March isn't the best month to go to Arizona either. Mm-hmm. May is the perfect month, I think, for travel. And October, of course.
Come to Rome.
But Aurelio did say on numerous occasions when we were outside in the rain and the wind, I hate Boston.
Yeah, I bet. I'm not surprised.
So I kind of feel bad for him. But we will get a second chance. We will.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking us on that very trippy episode. I'm glad you're
Thanks
back.
Thanks for having patience with me sort of like gushing about it. You know, it's a personal thing.
That's true. All right. Well, and until next time, this is The Bittersweet Life. I'm Katie Sewell.
I'm Tiffany Parks.
Join us again. Bye.
Hello. My name is Ariana. I live in Sacramento, California. And Bittersweet Life podcast has been a nice way to listen to people that are like friends you never knew were out there, feel like you have all these things in common, interests, and I think we're similar in age, and so we have common things that we grew up with that are fun to hear about. Also, being a travel enthusiast and someone who is just in love with Italy makes it that much more fun to listen to. Yeah, I just really appreciate you guys putting this out there and sharing all your stories and all the things you love and find interesting. Thank you for creating this podcast.
Do you have a topic you want us to explore? Send your requests. We'd love to hear what you want to know. Visit thebittersweetlife.net and contact us with your questions, your adventures, your observations, your favorite episodes. We love hearing from you. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Bittersweet Life Podcast.